This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين بعثه الله شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. My beloved brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My beloved brothers and sisters, welcome to the introductory class. I can already see that many of you have a lot of questions. Don't worry, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, a lot of your queries will be answered. Today, what we hope to insha'Allah ta'ala cover is the following. I want to go through 10 very important points that every pursuer of the Arabic language is in need of. These are 10 important points that helped me out immensely over the years. And here I am, passing it on to every single one of you guys who is either enrolled on this Arabic course or maybe someone who just wants to take on these benefits moving forward in his studies. Brothers and sisters, before I go into these 10 important points or these 10 tips, whatever you want to call them, right? I just want to, inshallah ta'ala, give you guys an idea of what we are going to be studying, insha'Allah ta'ala. And the level that I hope every single one of you reaches by the end of book one. Walillahi alhamdu wal minna. It has brought me a lot of joy and happiness to see so many of the students at least now being able to understand bits and bobs of what the Imam recites when leading the salah. As a teacher, you always want to see progression. You want to see the student in a better place than what he was, or in a better place than where he was at the beginning of whatever you taught him. This is something, my brothers and my sisters, that can really not be put into words, right? I have come across conversations of the students in their Twitter majmu'at, the Twitter groups, Telegram. I don't think there's groups on Twitter, right? On the Telegram groups where they are engaging with one another, right? Responding back to each other's questions, writing down, right? Whatever they want to articulate in the Arabic language, to be able to write, right? Even on your phone, my brothers and my sisters, isn't an easy thing. I remember it took me quite a bit of time to be able to write on my phone. So to see them having progressed, right, is something that really does bring a lot of joy to one's heart. So what I hope, inshallah ta'ala, is that every single one of you is able to have a basic conversation by the end of book one. A basic conversation. You're not going to be able to speak like a Medina graduate. You won't be able to speak like someone who was born, right, in an Arabian family, someone who was brought up in an Arab country. No, anyone who tells you that after 12 weeks, right, that you're going to be at the level where you're fluent in every sense, then this, my brothers and my sisters, is a myth which is extremely far-fetched. However, right, is it possible? Is it possible? يعني النادر لا حكم له, as they say, right? النادر لا حكم له, which basically means someone who is rare or a rare situation, you can't actually apply a general hukum. There are always going to be those who stand out from everyone. They are going to put in extra hours of work that maybe most won't be doing, right? And of course, they will be different from the rest. However, as a general principle, what I hope is that you are able to have basic conversations, right? And of course, inshallah ta'ala, when I go through some of these tips, I will make mention of what can speed up your progress, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Okay, you can have basic conversations in the following. Let me now go through some of the chapters that we will be covering, inshallah ta'ala. Chapter number one, my brothers and my sisters, is how to greet someone. You should be able, inshallah ta'ala, after a couple of weeks, right, to start greeting someone that you meet. to have a basic back and forth with him. Number two, my brothers and my sisters, or chapter number two, is speaking about family, right? You should have a basic understanding of who your uncle is, right? How to address an uncle or an auntie or your father or your mother and your brothers and siblings in the Arabic language. Number three, chapter number three, brothers and sisters, is where do you live? Any basic questions with regards to where one lives? Number four, that which relates to your daily routine. Number five, that which relates to food and drink. We should at least pick up some vocab pertaining to the very well-known foods that are eaten. Number six, that which relates to the prayer and the masjid. Number seven, that which pertains to studies and education, right? There are different sciences, different specialities, right? How to maybe say mathematics, sports, what are you studying, right? And so on and so forth. Number eight, that which relates to one's occupation, the jobs, okay? Someone who works in a pharmacy, how do you say so-and-so is a pharmacist? So-and-so is an engineer. So-and-so is a teacher, right? If you're speaking to a female, is it the same as when you're speaking to a male, right? Does the word change? Nah, inshallah ta'ala. Number nine, that which relates to the supermarket. Number 10, the weather, the different seasons. Chapter 11, the different places that one may go to, okay? You may go to the beach. You may go to Al-Bar, right? The wilderness. Number 12, that which relates to hobbies and passion. I think that was number 12 that I said, right? Number 12, that which relates to hobbies and passion. Number 13, how you can get by, inshallah ta'ala, when traveling, right? I'm sure most of you guys want to have an idea of what is happening when you go out on Umrah, right? Especially at the airport when you're extremely tired, right? There are labels that you see, right? Alwah. This says this. It tells you now to go to the section of Jawazat. It gives you a good idea of what's happening, what the, maybe the, I think they call him the inspector over there, right? What his wadifa actually is, what he's there to do and what he's saying to you. Naam. Chapter number 14, Hajj and Umrah. I'm sure most of you guys want to travel out for Umrah and likewise Al-Hajj to have at least a basic understanding of the places you're going to be going to, some of the things that you have to be doing, right? Chapter 15, brothers and sisters, is what concerns your health. Number 16, vacations, right? As you can see, my brothers and my sisters, that's quite a bit of Arabic that one will be, inshallah ta'ala, familiarizing himself with, right? It helps you, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, reach a level, right? Where you can do that which relates to your day-to-day dealings, okay? Especially now when you go abroad, these words, inshallah ta'ala, can help you get by. The vocab that we're going to be taking, inshallah ta'ala, will help you get somewhere, bi'idhnillahi al-bari, right? A lot of you guys are sending private messages asking, right? And they've always been asking whenever we've taught it, how long did it take me to study the Arabic language, right? We will come into that, inshallah ta'ala. Tayyib. Brothers and sisters, this is the part that I'm really looking forward to, that which relates to the tips that I could pass on to every single one of you who's looking to become proficient in the Arabic language, okay? These are points that I have gathered over the years, and some of these points I've taken also from the experts of languages, right? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَاسْأَلْ بِهِ خَبِيرًا. فَاسْأَلْ بِهِ خَبِيرًا, ask the people of expertise. When it comes to sacred beneficial knowledge, we will go to the ulama, of the Sharia, the scholars of the Sharia. If I'm in need of medical advice, I'm not going to go to a sheikh, I'm going to go to a medical expert. Likewise, if I want to build a house abroad, I will make sure that I find an engineer that can be trusted, and so on and so forth. So just as you find experts in these different fields, there are experts when it came to languages that we shouldn't just overlook when they give advices. طيب. The first one, my brothers and my sisters, or the first tip that I could give you guys, inshallah ta'ala, is that which relates to motivation. Motivation. You may want to write that down. If you don't have a good reason to learn a language, you are less likely to stay motivated in the long run. I'll say that again. If you don't have a good reason to learn a language, or to do anything in fact, right, you are less likely to stay motivated in the long run. You have to ask yourself, my brothers and my sisters, why are you studying the Arabic language? Why have you enrolled on this course with myself? Is it because you want to be able to get by when you go to an Arab country? Is it because you are looking forward to making hijrah to one of the Arab countries, right? And you are in need of the Arabic language? There are many people who travel out, brothers and sisters, to places like Saudi Arabia. Expats, right? However, they are just there to teach the English language. Their motivation of being there is to stack up the riyalat, the monies that is there to offer, that is there, right, being offered. If that makes sense. So it doesn't necessarily really concern them as to whether they learn the Arabic language or not. Okay, some want to be there maybe for a year or two in order to pay back some of the debts that they have back home, right? There are people there, my brothers and my sisters, who are teaching the English language. However, it is just a means for them to increase on sacred knowledge, right? So it's very, very important that you write down, my brothers and my sisters, why. Ask yourself this question, right? Am I enrolled on this course? Why am I learning the Arabic language? Is motivation enough, my brothers and my sisters? They say, motivation gets you going. Consistency keeps you going. Right? And I've come across other statements as well. Right? Motivation gets you going. Discipline keeps you going. Right? It's extremely, extremely important, my beloved brothers and sisters, that we remain disciplined. If you look at all of, and I put this in quotation marks, right? All of the successful in their different spaces and fields, you will see that, you will see, my brothers and my sisters, that, what's the term that I just used? Now, motivation gets you going.
Consistency keeps you... motivation...
Now, go on. I'm just basically asking you so to see as to whether they're paying attention or not. Now, motivation gets you going. Discipline keeps you going. Right? There are sacrifices that you have to make, my brothers and my sisters. And excuse me for using these names, right? However, they are personalities that many of you can relate to, right? Just to realize that it's not just about motivation, and that discipline is an integral part of what we are speaking about. You look at Cristiano Ronaldo, my brothers and my sisters. I'm sure we have quite a few ballers in the Arabic course, right? Cristiano Ronaldo, at the age of 37, is still at the top of his game, still scoring hat-tricks, my brothers and my sisters. Does that make sense, my brothers and my sisters? Huh? What keeps him consistent, my brothers and my sisters? You ask yourself the question. Huh? Right? And I'm sure a person like him, time and time again, as time goes on, right, he asks himself this question. Subhanallah. And with consistency, my brothers and my sisters, right? You have to make a number of sacrifices. I looked up his life many years ago, right? He's somebody, my brothers and my sisters, who makes a huge sacrifice with his food. He makes a huge sacrifice with his time. He makes a huge sacrifice with his sleep, subhanAllah. So it's diet, it's time, it's sleep, subhanAllah. It's not surprising that he has now reached these levels when it comes to his field of expertise. Because discipline is a huge aspect of his life. As opposed to other footballers who retire at maybe the age of 31, 32, right? Or not maybe looking after their diet. Some of them, they smoke. This, of course, is going to have a huge impact on you in the long run. Likewise, when it comes to a talib ilm, a student of knowledge, my brothers and my sisters, right? He has to be disciplined with his time. There are going to be brothers in his university abroad, as you say, he goes to Al-Madinah, who are going to be spending their Fridays and their Saturdays and their evenings throughout the week, maybe playing football, maybe going past different restaurants every single night. There are people like that, brothers and sisters, subhanAllah. However, if you remain, if you remain, my brothers and my sisters, consistent in that which you do and disciplined, you constantly keep reminding yourself, why am I seeking this knowledge? There are brothers that I've come across, the way they motivate themselves is, I have a family that I need to go back to, that are in need of this knowledge that I have. Right? You look also at Elon Musk, my brothers and my sisters. He's disciplined, extremely disciplined. I came across a tweet, I believe it was maybe what, 7 days a week or 6 days a week. He puts in 16 hours a day. Is it surprising now that he has reached the levels that he is currently at? It really isn't. Right? I've heard statements such as, it doesn't matter how strong you think you are. Mike Tyson. And other than him, Khabib had a similar statement. It doesn't matter how strong or how tough you think you are. If you are lacking discipline, you're going to get nowhere. Right? It's important, my brothers and my sisters, that we remain disciplined throughout our journey. Right? Even Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, he says the following, and this might be most relevant to what you brothers and sisters are looking for, right? He says, بِقَدَّرِ الْكَدِّ تُكْتَسَبُ الْمَعَالِي وَمَنْ طَلَبَ الْعُلَى سَهِرَ الْلَيَالِي. In accordance to how much effort and work you put into something, right? Due to how much work you put into something, it is based off of that that you will acquire loftiness. Subhanallah. بِقَدَّرِ الْكَدِّ تُكْتَسَبُ الْمَعَالِي وَمَنْ طَلَبَ الْعُلَى سَهِرَ الْلَيَالِي. Whoever wants to acquire loftiness, he will have sleepless nights. He will have sleepless nights. I'm not saying that khalas, you're going to have to give up every single night. La. All that which we are saying, my brothers and my sisters, as Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned, أَجْمَعَ كُلُّ عُقَلَاءِ الْأُمَّةِ أَنَّ النَّعِيمَ لَا يُدْرَكُ بِالنَّعِيمِ. All the people of intellect have unanimously agreed that you cannot acquire success with ease. Subhanallah. This is something that is common sense. There has to be times that you sacrifice maybe you going out with your friends. If you really, really want that which we are going through. If you really want to be able to reach a level where you understand the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. While there are people who will enjoy themselves, you are at home, right? Your head is stuck in the books, stuck in the work papers, really trying your utmost best in acquiring that which you have signed up for. Number two, my beloved brothers and sisters, is that which relates to carrying a notepad. When I was in Medina, even just before I was leaving, I always run into brothers who are freshers, new students, asking for advice. The first thing that I would look at is, you know how you have these pockets? Most students over there, they would be wearing thobes. First thing that I would look at is he carrying a notepad? Is he carrying a notepad? This notepad, my brothers and my sisters, is essential. You write down every new word that you come across. Otherwise, you will struggle to progress. You'll always be the same place. I'll give you guys a personal experience. I remember when I left Hadramaut, I spent a year in a place called Hadramaut. It was a completely different institute to the Darul Hadith, the Institute of Hadith that I studied at later on. I spent then another 3 years in Yemen at this institute called the Institute of Hadith. Right? When I first arrived, I really struggled to understand the Sheikh over there, because there was the Sheikh, if you want to call it that, the Sheikh, right? There are so many different mashayikh who teach throughout the day. However, there was one Sheikh who was the successor of the founder of this institute. After Dhuhr, after Asr, after Maghrib, especially after Maghrib, the Sheikh would have long discussions about different issues and masail, some contemporary issues, which I really struggled to understand at the time. Taib. I would write down every word that I didn't understand. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, it was only a matter of time, maybe within a week or two, that I was unable to understand most, or should I say maybe what, 95% of what the Sheikh was saying. As we will mention time and time again, my brothers and my sisters, and this is of course from a person-to-person basis, right? The vocab that each Sheikh or that each individual uses is only a set amount. So now, it may well be that there are 30 words that is extremely, extremely consistent in this individual's conversations that you now need to pick up on. So you take five today. You're already, what, five better than yesterday. You've taken these words, you've started using it, you've become familiar with it. The next time you hear it, my brothers and my sisters, khalas, you've already got it. You're five better and there's only another 25 remaining, if that makes sense. So you write down whatever new word that you hear. That's extremely, extremely important. So when this brother now is asking for advice, I will check his. What do you guys call this pocket, front pocket? Maybe they don't even have a word for it in English, sahih? Yeah, chest pocket? Maybe somebody can help us out here. Tayyib, excellent. Number three, my brothers and my sisters, is... Tayyib, somebody said chest pocket. The other one said pocket square. MashaAllah, jayid. Tayyib. Number three, my brothers and my sisters, speak the language at all costs. And this is one of the main principles. You can even maybe call it number one principle for every language that is learnt. You have to speak the language of the people. Right? Whether it may be French, whether it may be Spanish, right? It's more practical than theory, my brothers and my sisters, when it comes to learning a language. Of course, you have the theory side of things. However, when you practice it, you will see, my brothers and my sisters, you taking huge strides forward. It's a little bit like learning how to drive. I can sit for days, brothers and sisters, right? Explaining to you what to do with the... how to push it and this and that and... rev it for this much and press the brake, and then you're probably not going to have a clue of what I'm talking about up until you start practicing it. Whatever you learn, speak it, brothers and sisters. Right? I know this might sound a little bit crazy. What I say to the students is, even if it means that you speak to a pillow or a plastic doll, and yes, I did not... And should I say maybe, no, I haven't become crazy, brothers and sisters. It's something that I've been doing for years. When I was in Yemen, I lived by myself. Right? I lived by myself. You guys are laughing, huh? Keep laughing. Now, I lived by myself and I was in a room by myself, right? And sometimes I would pick up a pillow and I'll start speaking to it. I'd be walking around practicing whatever I learned. Now, and also what I tend to inform the students is, if you have a young child, right? He doesn't have a clue of what you're saying, but you are practicing. Sometimes when my daughter Taymiyyah, may Allah Azza wa Jalla preserve her, and give her a long life. There is a particular quote that I'm trying to memorize, which I need for a khutbah, or a hadith that I haven't memorized, right? One of the quickest ways, my brothers and my sisters, and there's quite a few studies that have been done on this, right? One of the quickest ways of taking information is to what? Huh? To speak it on your tongue, to articulate it out of your interior, if that makes sense. To say it. This is why me and my Russian friend, one of my closest friends in Al-Medina, was a Russian brother. His name was Hakim, right? However, one of our fiqh teachers called him Hakimov, and he stuck with him. Because just about most names, right, in Russian, they have Ov at the end. Huh? We used to call him the Kalashnikov. We had another brother, his name was Ibrahimov. So anyways, my friend Hakimov, we would normally revise before the exam. Sometimes we're studying subjects that, wallahi, brothers and sisters, we absolutely hated with a passion. It would be like one of those subjects which is for an hour a week. You know, you have these subjects, right? One of them I remember was the history of Saudi Arabia. Like, I personally hated it with a passion because of the teacher and how he was teaching it. I really didn't like it. I'm like, how is this going to benefit me? It has absolutely nothing to do with me. There's other ways I can maybe take all of this information. So we hated it with a passion. They made us memorize over 50 dates. This year, this happened. On this year, that happened. And it really drove me nuts. So what did we do? What do we do in these kind of subjects that we have no passion to learn? We would sit in front of one another. We would take the information in the mudhakkara, in the file that we've been given, and we would start relating it to one another. We would start what? Throwing it to one another. It would really, really stick. So sometimes I speak to Tamia, brothers and sisters. She's 1.5 years of age. And I start what? Relating to her whatever I want to stick. No. Number four, brothers and sisters, go to where the language is spoken. And it doesn't necessarily have to be overseas. Yes, of course. If you can go overseas to a country that speaks the language that you are learning, then that is the most wonderful thing or greatest thing that you could do. Right? So you've taken now the basics and now you go to a place that speaks the language. Right? I'll tell you guys about a good friend of mine called Ammar. I think he's only what? 16 or 17 years of age. I recently met him. We read on the same teacher in Birmingham, Sheikh Jalal Salim. And I was totally amazed by his level of Arabic. For someone who has not left the country, I asked him, how did you pick up, right, the Arabic language? He said to me, in the COVID period, I think he said to me he would go to the masjid and this is where the Egyptians were. Wallahi, you think that he's an Egyptian, I think he's what, Pakistani or Indian? I think he's Pakistani, right? But he sounds like an Egyptian. And he would just practice with them whatever he learned, subhanAllah. He would converse with them up. Wallahi, brother says he's extremely fluent now. When I listen to him, I'm thinking, Allahumma barik. The brother has never left the country. The brother has never left the country to go, he's never gone to an Arab country to practice the language at all. However, he went to a place where they excessively speak the language and he picked up like that, subhanAllah. No. Number five, brothers and sisters. That which relates to translating whatever passage or whatever conversation that you come across in the textbook. Rebecca Braun, a senior lecturer in German studies at Lancaster University, says it is typical to feel a slowing down in progress. She then says, translation is such an important exercise for helping you get over a certain plateau that you will reach as a language learner. Translation exercises don't allow you to paraphrase, and it will force the learner onto the next level. And this is something that really, really helped me as well. I would take a passage where there are so many words that I don't understand, and I would look it up. I would look it up, okay? And this now brings me on to the next point, number six, which is what? Buying the Hanswear dictionary. Okay? So now you come across a paragraph, there are so many words that you don't understand, and now you're looking up these words. The more you look it up, my brothers and my sisters, the more it sticks. And then you write it down. You write down the translation. And while you're translating, my brothers and my, you're repeating the word that you are translating. Just see, my brothers and my sisters, the kind of effect that it has on your progression. So the the dictionary is called Hanswear. It's called Hanswear Dictionary. It is called Hans, H for Harry, A for Alpha, N for November, S for Sierra, W for Washington, okay, E for Echo, I for India, R for Romeo. Hanswear Dictionary. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, this dictionary helped my English. Okay? It helped my English. Honestly, it really, really did. Okay? Because I come from a background where we would always just speak street language. How many are we on? We're on number six, right? Is that correct?
I think we just covered number six. There's number seven now.
Five, six, type. We finished six. We are now on number seven. Number seven, my brothers and my sisters, is learn vocabulary in context. Okay? You might be studying aqidah. There are a set number of vocab that you will see reoccurring in that particular science, or in that particular topic or field, right? Up until this very day, my brothers and my sisters, I don't understand half the words that are used in the hospital. I don't even think if I go now to an English hospital, right, I'll understand. Whether it's a hospital in an Arab country or in an English country, half the terms I don't understand. Why? Because I personally have not gone out of my way to learn, right, the set few vocab that reoccurs in this kind of environment. So this is very, very important when you move from one science to another. There are a set number of vocabulary terms that are used, or set number of vocab that is used in this particular field or setting or science. So you should what? Keep that in mind, brothers and sisters. What sometimes tends to happen, one has been studying for a whole year. Allahumma barik, he can have a conversation, he can understand most people. However, he opens a book in aqidah, and you see him becoming extremely demotivated, heartbroken. I don't understand. I thought I knew the Arabic language. I put a whole year in. And that is because, brothers and sisters, for every science, there is a set number of vocab, right? That reoccurs, right? Don't worry, you haven't failed, right? It might just take you, what, a couple of days now to pick up all of these different words, and now you're so much more better than how you were 24 hours ago. And that is because these words will reoccur. How many is that?
Number seven,
yeah? We finished seven, right?
Yeah.
طيب, we're now on number eight. Number eight, my brothers and my sisters, is find a partner. Find a partner. Matthew Yoden is a polyglot. Do you guys know what a polyglot is? Let's see who knows. Polyglot. Does anybody know what a polyglot is? A polyglot, my brothers and my sisters, is someone who speaks 9 languages. Somebody said, someone says, someone with multiple wives. No, brother. Why are we always taking the conversation to that which relates to wives and polygamy? Huh? Polyglot is somebody who speaks 9 languages. He says that I learned several languages together with my twin brother, Michael. So you have Matthew Yoden and also Michael Yoden. They tackled their first foreign language, which was Greek, when they were only 8 years old. Right? They are known as the Super Polyglot Bros. Right? Subhanallah. And it is said about them that they gained their superpowers from a good old sibling rivalry. Allahu Akbar. And I quote, Matthew says, "We were very motivated, and we still are. We push each other to really go for it." Right? So if he realizes that I'm doing more than he is, he'll get a bit more jealous, and then he will try to outdo me. Maybe because he's my twin, and the other way around. I know that there are couples who have joined this course, and that's wonderful, mashallah. Right? This good old rivalry is healthy at times. And you motivate one another. Right? So the fact that you have a spouse that has joined with you on this course, it's an opportunity now to really practice with them. That makes sense. I'm not going to mention any names, but I know some couples who have joined. Barakallahu feekum. May Allah Azza wa Jal give you guys more and more. Ameen. Tayyib. That's number 8. Number 9, my brothers and my sisters, the willingness to make mistakes. The willingness to make mistakes. Learning a language, my brothers and my sisters, right, requires bravery and courage. You have to be able to leave your comfort zone. Right? Means, and this means, brothers and sisters, that you are ready to put yourself in potentially embarrassing situations. And this, my brothers and my sisters, can be extremely scary. However, this is the only way to develop and improve. I remember, wallahi, brothers and sisters, when I first was learning the Arabic language, I would be ridiculed and laughed at. I would be walking around with my notepad outside of the institute, and I would try to converse with the different people that I would come across. I would just make random conversations. There would be times that the person I was speaking to, right, he would already gather that this individual is just here to practice his language or what he's learning with myself. Why am I even standing here? That's how he would look at me, right? And he would start making jokes, right? Ridicule me in front of his friends and or the people that he was maybe with. So you have to practice. But who cares? At the end of the day, that which really, really matters to me is for me to become a fluent Arabic speaker, right? So I have to practice. And going back to our brother Ammar, this is exactly what he done. Right? This is exactly what he done. Subhanallah. He would be practicing with the Egyptians up until now he became very, very fluent. May Allah Azza wa Jal increase him. However, my brothers and my sisters also, there were brothers that I personally came across. And this is very common in places like Al-Medina and others as well. There was a brother in Al-Yemen, right? I remember having a conversation with him in the English language. And he was saying that, yeah, he's been here for 2 years. Tayyib, can he speak the Arabic language? He couldn't, subhanAllah. Couldn't speak the Arabic language. Yes, he may have been able to understand bits and bobs, and even then, it wasn't enough for someone who was there for 2 years. What was the reason behind this, my brothers and my sisters? I put it down to two reasons. Number one, not practicing what he learned. Number two, there was an element of, I think maybe you could call it pride. Because he wasn't really putting in the effort, right? He wasn't speaking the Arabic language. Whatever he learned, he wouldn't go and practice it, right? Khalas, time was going on, right? Time's not just going to wait for you. There's always new students coming. right? So now a year has gone. A new student will come and see this brother attending an Arabic class, and he will ask himself the question, why is his brother still studying this very basic Arabic class? Why is he still attending this very basic Arabic class when he's been here for a whole year? And due to that, he stopped attending classes. And then the time just went on and on and on. Being pride, my brothers and my sisters, can be extremely detrimental. This is why being humble, right, especially when it comes to beneficial knowledge, is key. It's extremely, extremely important. You have to be ready to, you have to be ready to be humiliated, right? You may well have to sit in a class where there are little kids. At times, I tell some of the brothers who seek advice, okay, about memorizing the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, because you need a system. I tell them, akhi, go and join the madrasa. The brother will say to me, there's only little kids there, then khalas, ma fi mushkila. What's the issue? Go and sit with these, rub shoulders with these little kids, right, who are at secondary school maybe, and you're what, 25, 26, does it really, really matter? If you really want something, you're ready to overlook everything that comes with it. No. So it is very, very important, my brothers and my sisters, that we are willing to make mistakes. And as they say, practice makes perfect. How many is that? Yeah.
That's 9. We added 2 more points with that, but yeah. So,
I think that's 8, right? How many are we on, brothers and sisters? So have we finished 9 or are we on the 9th point?
We finished 9.
Okay, we finished 9. Excellent. Number 10, brothers and sisters, you need to learn to listen before you can learn to speak. Every language, my brothers and my sisters, sounds strange the first time you hear it. The more you expose yourself to it, the more familiar it becomes, making it easier to speak and comprehend. I remember when I was growing up as a young child. By the way, brothers and sisters, I was not born in the UK, I was born in the Netherlands. I grew up watching Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon. Okay, and I would listen. I'm not speaking English to anyone because everyone speaks Dutch there. But I'm listening, becoming more and more familiar to the terms that are being used in these cartoons. Not that I'm saying you should start watching Cartoon Network now, brothers and sisters. But the point of the matter is, listening can really, really go a long way. Right? Especially when you're attentive. There are some Arabic cartoons. You put it into YouTube, you'll see cartoons coming up. When you learn bits and bobs, brothers and sisters, and then you begin to hear, you'll see it sounds a certain way. And Arabic, my brothers and my sisters, is just a bunch of consistent patterns that you will have to keep on coming across. One of these students is saying, me too, the little bit of Arabic I know was from the Arabic cartoon channels. I'll give you guys an 11th tip as well, my brothers and my sisters. Watching others talk. Different languages make different demands on your tongue, lips and throat. Pronunciation is just as much physical as it is mental. Right? At times it may sound strange, brothers and sisters. Right? However, when you look at the way that individual speaks, right, the sound that it makes, and then you try to imitate that sound as much as you can. It might be difficult at the beginning, my brothers and my sisters, but you will master it. It is something in essence that is pretty easy when you think about it. It just requires practice. I hope, my beloved brothers and sisters, these are 10 points, inshallah ta'ala, that you could take benefit from, bi'idhnillah ta'ala. Inshallah ta'ala, the recording will be made available. The recording will be made available, right? So inshallah, for those who missed it and came in late, can have the opportunity to maybe jot down all of these 10 points. These are 10 points that I personally really, really benefited from. And I hope you guys benefit from it as well. Today was just an introductory lesson, right? But before we finish, my brothers and my sisters, I quickly want to mention the following. These are house rules for our classes. These are house rules for our classes. The first, my brothers and my sisters, is that you have a pen and paper at your disposal. You must write that which I mentioned from time to time, brothers and sisters. You must write down that which I mentioned. Sometimes I give some key benefits that could save you maybe hours, wallahi. Right? And that is because I'm sharing maybe a method that really, really helped me. Right? After maybe having stumbled over, tripped up, time and time again. Right? So now I'm just sharing it, giving it to you on a plate. So you need a pen and paper. If that makes sense. Number two, my brothers and my sisters, no private conversations when we have the lesson. This will only distract you as a student and it will distract the others. And thirdly, I will lose focus when I keep seeing these messages popping up, unless, of course, I ask you all for an answer. That's number two. Number three, my beloved brothers and sisters, what I require from every single one of you who has joined the course is to revise before and after the class. Don't be like the one who goes to a class with his books. As soon as he's done with the class, he puts the books in the back of his car. He puts in the boot. And that's the last time he sees these books up until what? The next class. Don't be like that. That's number three. Number four. Please, my brothers and my sisters, I take punctuality extremely serious. The way I look at punctuality is, if you're early, expect inshallah ta'ala to be granted that knowledge before everyone else. That's the way I personally look at it. However, if you're late, expect to be from amongst the last when it comes to acquiring that knowledge. I took this from a hadith, وَلَا يَزَالُونِ يَتَأَخْرُونَ حَتَّى يُؤَخِّرُهُمُ اللَّهِ طيب. It's a different context, but if you're always late, expect to embrace or to consume that knowledge after everyone else. The class starts at 9:30. Please, brothers and sisters, be there 5 minutes prior to that, as much as you can. If you make it a habit of being late, you will sometimes miss out on some key information or benefits that I'm giving. How many is that? That's number four, right? طيب. Number five, my brothers and my sisters. Have a close relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by constantly making dua, asking Him to open doors of knowledge for you. There are two main components that I tend to emphasize, brothers and sisters, when it comes to beneficial knowledge. Number one is working hard. You need to put the work in. I can't feed you this knowledge, brothers and sisters. The Shaykh of our Mashayikh, Muqbil, rahimahullah ta'ala, who founded that institute that I studied at in Yemen, he would say, if I had the ability to pour the knowledge into your mouths, I would have done so. However, the only way you're going to acquire this knowledge is by the scraping of the elbows and the scraping of the knees. Like I said before, brothers and sisters, it requires a sacrifice. It may well be that at times you will have eye bags. That's what they call it, right? Eye bags. Or is it sleeping bags? No, sleeping bags is the actual thing that you go inside of, but this is called eye bags type. eye bags, brothers and sisters. Huh? Don't worry, inshallah ta'ala. You are putting in the work because you have an objective. Huh? Use a bit of Vaseline, inshallah ta'ala, and you'll look better. However, brothers and sisters, right, it's important that we realize you need to really put in the work. It's not easy. It's not easy for me to be sitting here every couple of days, right, going through it. However, everyone has objectives. Everyone has reasons as to whatever they do. Does that make sense? You want to understand the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, it's not going to come easy. You have to put in the work. It may well be that you have to stay awake after Fajr. You have to get up earlier than usual, right? Because you have kids, right? When they go to sleep, you're still awake, right? It's going to, of course, affect your sleeping pattern, your day-to-day lives. However, nothing comes easy. And number two, my brothers and sisters, the most important thing is that you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are a number of videos that I would like you all to watch, right? Mainly that which relates to the purification of the heart. One of them is 5 sins that prevent knowledge. 5 sins that prevent knowledge. And inshallah ta'ala, I will send a list with the admin and he will pass it on to you guys, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And also that which relates to memorization. Ad-du'a, brothers and sisters. Could be that you wake up in the last third of the night and this is the most perfect time to be asking Allah Azza wa Jal. Imam al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi said, the du'a that you make in the last third is like the arrow that does not miss its target. So bear that in mind. Abu Shaykh Salih ibn Abdullah ibn Hamad al-Usaym would say, doesn't matter how hard you work, if Allah doesn't open it for you, then it's very different to pharmacy. It's very different to engineering, brothers and sisters. This is a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal. So go and acquire that gift from Allah Azza wa Jal alone. So these are very important points, my brothers and my sisters, that I wanted to mention before we start the lesson next week, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Also that which I forgot to mention right at the beginning is we will be going through a good amount of Arabic grammar and some morphology as well, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, that which is required in order to understand the different conversations that we are going through. Because like I said, Arabic is consistent patterns. And when you go through these patterns, inshallah ta'ala, you will see that it will become easy, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala.